This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Yeah, Monday. What's up? Welcome in Grant and Danny on the Fan. And for the first time, in 2026, for the first time in a couple of weeks, because of vacations and holidays and sicknesses, you and I are in the saddle together, Danny.
I don't remember you. It's Grant, right?
With a T.
Grant, not Granth, because there's an H in the middle of your Twitter handle. That's confusing.
It's the main one I get.
That's the
Granth?
One. Grant?
Like, no. That's not like a weird H thing. That's a middle initial. It was that or an underscore.
And no one wants the underscore.
Not really an underscore guy.
No, who so is?
We went with the H.
Yeah, it made perfect sense to me.
The other one I get a lot of is Graham. Like, what's your name? Grant. Like, go Graham. And I'm like, No.
E,
Grant.
Grant. We maybe got to do a Mario Ta type bit.
You'll be happy Grant to know Ta. I got pho. P-H-O. Pho.
What?
Twice because I was sick.
What?
We called it our little healing potion. Everyone
yes.
in my house was sick for like weeks and weeks and weeks.
Dude, it is a thing that my wife and I have done many times. Millions and millions of people have done the same thing. You crave it when you get that ear, nose, throat situation.
I don't know if I got to the point of craving, but I did actually thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah.
But the reason I bring it up, Danny, is
the years of us telling you it was so good?
No, it's because we're talking about my name getting botched.
Yeah.
And both days when we went to scoop it and pick it up, it was listed as Greg. So they
heard, that fits.
They heard Greg, I guess, when I said Grant. That's fine.
Well, I mean, you're stuffed up a good grib.
Yeah, that's true.
It sounds like Grant, Greg, I don't know. But yeah, we used to call ourselves Greg and Dave after Bruce Allen called me Dave.
Maybe they're just big listeners.
Maybe they know they're inside.
They're like, give Dave this, and they send another bucket of pho for you. But yeah, we have been fighting the good fight at the Paulson household.
Man, oh man.
Voice is probably about 75%, so let's rock and roll. Black Monday in the NFL, Danny. Firings today in Atlanta, Cleveland, Vegas, and Arizona, officially. Found out last night Raheem Morris was going to be out with the Falcons. So there are going to be, in this cycle, six, at least, maybe more, but at least six openings. And this was supposed to have been a year where there were fewer openings because there's not high-end candidates. The cycle looks like there's not an elite group of offensive coordinating types.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Falcons firing Raheem Morris, who went 16-18 over 2 years, one game worse over two seasons than Dan Quinn's record in Washington. He's out. The Browns fired Kevin Stefanski this morning, a two-time coach of the year who was there for 6 years, got him to the playoffs a couple of times. Last 2 years, though, they went 8-26.
Yeah, just disastrous. I mean, I don't know how much of that is at the feet of Kevin Stefanski, but some is. You just can't have that record and survive.
I agree.
League.
I have no problem with that firing. I think it's probably deserved after the last two seasons, and yet he should be available for 6 hours. one of the openings, whether it's Atlanta or Vegas or Arizona or New York, somebody should hire Kevin Stefanski because he's really, really good at designing offense and calling plays, and he's good with quarterbacks, as he's proven in Cleveland a couple of times over. But you don't see it very often that a multi-time coach of the year gets blown out, but 8-26 through 2 years kind of tells you the story. I'm very intrigued by the fact that Andrew Berry, who gave Deshaun Watson that debilitating contract that ruined the organization.
He's fine.
Who drafted both of the quarterbacks that led to some of the turmoil in the infighting organizationally this year. He's going to hire the next head coach, and he's staying on. Like, that's shocked me.
Yeah, I saw that report, and that Joe Shane is going to be retained. In New York, just keep hanging out. You guys are doing great.
Must be nice.
Keep that nameplate right on the door. Keep everything the same.
Pete Carroll, one and done in Vegas with the Raiders, the oldest head coach in football, went 3-14. Tom Brady's first go-round as an executive last offseason running the show did not go very well. They quite literally finished dead last. They will pick first of 32 teams with the number one pick in the NFL draft, presumably after wanting to go Ben Johnson but finishing the bridesmaid to Chicago for him last year. I would think Stefanski would headline their list and they'll go offensive after swinging and missing on Carroll. You hired him to make sure that you didn't have a bottom-out, terrible, pick-at-the-top-of-the-board season.
Isn't that weird that that's exactly...
And then you went 3-14. You went and got Geno Smith so that you didn't have to have a terrible quarterback situation where you'd lose 14 of 17 games. And then it happened anyway.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show you that that's a fool's errand to begin with. And it's my least favorite thing about the NFL is that nobody can face it. In baseball, you get a bunch of smart guys who eventually explain to the owner, no, this is the way to do it. This will save you money. You'll actually make some money. Your bottom line will be enhanced, et cetera. The NFL, it's a different conversation because of revenue sharing. There's no such thing really as a small market, quote unquote. They're all major markets. It's the NFL. But you got smart people convincing owners in baseball where you go, here's how to make the most money and for us to get good. We got you. And then that's the path. No one can do it in football. No one can do it. They just can't help themselves. Now, you ended up there anyway. By just stubbing your toe because everyone was so incompetent and overmatched and you were terribly built. But the intention, the idea, and the toughest division maybe the sport has is let's try to be okay. My God, is that profoundly stupid.
Cardinals fired Jonathan Gannon. 3-14 season for him, 15-36 over 3 years. So they have an opening now. And like some of these teams, questions at the quarterback position. Kyler Murray's under contract, but they had benched him. For Jacoby Brissett, is he available? Do they move on from him? Do they cut him and eat money? Do they trade him? Maybe the next head coach makes that decision. And then we already knew that both the Giants, after firing Brian Daboll 10 weeks in, and the Titans, after getting rid of Brian Callahan 6 games into the season, were open. So it's Falcons, Browns, Raiders, Cardinals, Giants, and Titans, 6 teams hunting for head coaches this year in the NFL.
Is Cincinnati next? We don't know. I haven't seen anything in that regard.
They have already said Zach Taylor is staying. Their owner, Mike Brown, put out a letter today saying that he trusts both his GM, Duke Tobin, and Zach Taylor to be the guy to get things right with Joe Burrow.
There you go.
Supposedly, Burrow stood on the table for him behind the scenes, too. And when Burrow, with the power he has and the quality of the player he's become, kind of says, this is the guy I want, that means something.
It certainly does. So, you know, those are two. That one and the Jets could be one and done for Glenn when they were non-competitive for a lot of games.
I cannot believe Aaron Glenn is just safe, and we all just know that he's going to stay. Like, look at how bad it got.
Yeah.
They got outscored by 134 points in their final 5 games.
Yeah.
They were minus 107 in point differential. In December, the worst ever, they surpassed the 1960 Bears for the worst December point differential ever, and then got blown out by 27 yesterday to kick off January. Welcome to a new month. And he's just going to be their head coach again?
Yeah, so that was one of the two spots where we had speculated, not trying to start any negative rumors or anything, just saying, hey, you look at the situation here, read some tea leaves. Could this be a one and done in New York for Glenn? And Cincinnati's been bitterly disappointing with the built-in understanding that you don't have Joe Burrow, you're going to be worse. But there's a lot of non-Joe Burrow issues there in Cincinnati that have nothing to do with him being healthy or otherwise. They can't stop anything or anyone at any time. That defense continues to be a disaster. But maybe that's a management-level thing as opposed to a Zach Taylor thing.
I think the most likely other opening, if there is one right now, looks like maybe Baltimore after they lost what was one of the craziest games of the season.
What unbelievable theater.
To wind down the NFL year last night. Back and forth they went. I saw that Lamar Jackson became the first ever quarterback to be on the wrong end of a result after throwing two 50-yard touchdowns in the fourth quarter because of multiple breakdowns in coverage. I mean, just brutal defensive play by both teams.
By everybody, yeah.
In the last few minutes
of that game. They took turns giving it away.
I just thought it was the microcosm for the year in the division. Like, who wants the division? The Ravens, the Steelers, the Ravens, the Steelers. And it was like, neither of them necessarily.
Does anyone deserve to win this? The answer is a resounding no.
Someone had to.
Literally someone has to.
Whose defense would make the last mistake, or in this case, special teams? I saw that the kicker for Baltimore, Tyler Loop, who missed the game-winning field goal attempt, had been perfect inside of 50 all season, and then he pushed a sub-50-yard field goal wide to the right. It was the first time in 60,000 field goal attempts worth of kicks in this league where the final kick of a season to determine a team's fate, division, non-division, playoffs, non-playoffs, was missed at the horn at the last second.
Wow.
Hadn't happened before. I felt awful for that kid.
Oh, it's brutal. I mean, there's no way around that.
That's a loser organization and team this year. Like, they didn't necessarily deserve to win. I thought the Steelers were better for much of the night.
I did too.
And like, there were 100 different
ways. Those couple
ways.
Huge plays by Baltimore made it a different game.
Absolutely.
But yes, correctly.
Lamar made the virtuoso, incredible, oh my God, you just made up for everything play to give them the lead. But even still, you feel like when you watch that game, you did enough, you got to the finish line, all the kicker's got to do is walk across it. And then he stumbles.
Well, from 44 yards in one of the worst kicking spots in the league, I was actually, you know, just a quick side, I know we're not breaking this game down from all angles today. I thought it was so cowardly where you had a timeout and all you did was have Lamar sort of drift to the side and kneel for a loss of 2 yards. Worst case to me, smash mouth Derrick Henry right up the middle for a yard or two of progress or nothing, but you had a timeout left.
Yeah.
I thought that was really foolish just to say, we're good, like you were at the 10. You weren't, not there.
That is the NFL. In 2026, I guess. I've got to get used to saying that.
Yeah.
I'm the guy that like writes the wrong date on his checks and paper for weeks on end after the new year. But we had 9 kickers make a 60-yard field goal this season, which was an NFL record. Never before had we had more than 5. And I bring that up here to say the expectation from 44 now is that it's 37 or 38. So I'll give up 5 yards. I'll get in shotgun, take a direct snap, and kneel there. Everything's about the clock. Everything's about making sure you don't get the ball back. There's only 2 seconds left. Distance be damned. 44 is nothing. And I think you're right. Like, this is a tough place to kick. This is a rookie kicker. Obviously, we're working back with hindsight, having become wisdom here. But that's not a layup like we all kind of think it is mentally.
No, it's not. And it's not a dome.
They were not concerned. It would have been nice to go get another 10, 12 yards on a little in route and, you know, burn a timeout, and now it's a 27-yard field goal.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm going, in real time, I'm going, I understand you don't want to put the ball in the air because, God, you know, you've already had 3 or 4 passes batted down at the line of scrimmage over the course of the game. It felt like every other ball that was getting touched. Just, at a minimum, try to run something. And if it doesn't work, you're in the same spot you were before, just, you know, run a dive to Derrick Henry, 3 yards, 4 yards. Would have made a world of difference. Now, it would have been wide enough, it seems like, where that's going to miss. But I just thought that was a strange bit of complacency from a team that shouldn't have been complacent at all.
All right, we should let you know. 3 o'clock today, coming up in 45 minutes. Jay Gruden's on the show for his normal appointment. We often talk to him at 5. We cannot today because we're busy at 5. At 5 o'clock here on Grant and Danny, Adam Peters, in a very, very rare press conference, will be addressing the media. I believe this is the first time AP is taking questions at length since training camp, at the start of camp in the preseason. So Peters will talk, and so will Dan Quinn, the two of them together in Ashburn today. I actually saw, I think it was Tom Lavero, tweet something to this effect, and I think it's a really good point. Peters often sits and takes questions in tandem with Dan Quinn. I was at the last presser he did at the start of training camp, and that was the setup. And it has been the case after the draft. It has been the case at the end of these seasons. And I don't think it should be necessarily. This is not some let's get after Adam Peters with pitchforks thing. Let's grill him, you know, take. But we have heard from Dan Quinn ad nauseum. Every day, constantly, for months on end, there is nothing that he thinks, that he's willing to say publicly, I should say, that we need to hear at this point. I have heard enough from Dan Quinn to last me the rest of 2026.
Yeah, I'm all set there.
I need Adam Peters' thoughts and analysis and takes. And strategically speaking, I think it's smart for the team to have Dan Quinn up there because he could do some of his shtick and opine and cuts down on half the questions that get asked of the general manager who you don't get to talk to very much. But I would like it a lot more if Peters was up there for a half hour by himself. You could just get more done from a Q&A standpoint as a media group, the folks that'll be out there. But it'll be Peters and Quinn today at 5. You can hear it live. We're going to carry it right here on Grant and Danny.
Yeah, and not to tell anybody how to do their gig, because they're better at it than I am, certainly. But if it was me, if I'm part of the assembled masses, I would go, this question is only for Adam. And I would encourage my fellow media members to do the same thing.
Because
I've got Dan's answer.
So, again, we get into like telling people how to do their jobs, and that's uncomfortable, and I feel bad about that.
Right.
Because we're just sitting on our tuchuses in studio. But I can't believe still that the press conference for Paul Toboney, if you remember when he was introduced as the new team president, I think it was, for the Nationals, they had ownership there. And they were sitting on the dais up front. And the questions were mostly to Paul Toboney, who you're going to talk to for months on end. You're going to get so much Paul Toboney coming up. But Mark Lerner's never sitting behind a microphone. Ever, 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 ever. And he was that day. I don't even remember who else was up there. Maybe Gottlieb or some of these other people that are involved with the ownership group that people don't even know who they are because they're never front-facing and they're never at the mic. And it's one of those things, if you're the Nationals, where you go into that with nerves and anxiety and consternation and we'll get you in, we'll get you out. Well, hopefully you don't get beat up too bad by the media because it's been a rough several years. You don't spend any money, yada, yada, yada. And then the questions are all to Toboney. There's like three questions to Mark Lerner total the entire time. And if you're the Nats or their PR department, you're doing cartwheels.
You're doing spin kicks.
High fives.
How great did that go for us?
Like they barely even noticed the owner was up there, right? And with Peters, it's kind of that same way where you don't get that many chances to talk to Adam Peters. So respectfully, don't really care about the brotherhood today. Like, what did Dan Quinn think about the boys battling against the Eagles? Or what did you see from Ale Cajo on special teams? Uh-uh. Not today. There's another day. Or not. We don't even need to, ever. Because I could just give you his answer. But Adam Peters, let's talk about Cliff Kingsbury. Let's talk about Jaden Daniels going into year 3. You know, the really important things here, like the top 10 pick that you've got. I don't know if you've heard, but they're going to pick 7th, not 5th.
It is 7th, it turns out, right? When you know, like, they got a big win. So.
Actually, never mind. It's 5th because they actually got the benefit of two teams that weren't supposed to win yesterday winning. The New York Giants helped them out. They got a draft spot based on that win yesterday. So they went from pick 7 to pick 6. Did you see that?
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
Is that true?
No, it's very true. And then there was another game that happened that really benefited them as well, where they went up a spot because they got help. Wait, then they won.
Oh.
I knew I was forgetting something.
I was
something.
Like, something. I saw the win from the Giants.
Then they beat the Eagles. Yay.
Yeah. So looked like it could have been like pick 2 or something.
Thanks
they lost.
To the Browns, right? And thanks to the Giants for their efforts. But the Commanders couldn't suck properly. And so they will now pick 7th.
I appreciate y'all. Yeah, listen, we'll go through this a lot today, and it's the story. You're allowed to be happy. It's your fandom. You know, do what you want. I'm kind of over lecturing people. I've been bewildered at the reaction. It just always reminds me that either I'm the alien or I'm ahead of the curve. Like, either I'm just a crazy person that sort of cuts to the end, either I'm crazy or I'm astute. You know what I mean? I'm either like Galileo in his time and like, no, guys, the whole thing's round and that's not orbiting around us, we're orbiting around it. Or, yeah, everybody's a little bit slow to get to where I'm at. Or I'm just always going to be crazy. One or the other.
Yeah, I want to get into a win that ends up being damaging and our feelings on it. We'll do that next on Grant and Danny. Plus, this weekend, the report came out via The Athletic that Adam Peters and Cliff Kingsbury are butting heads behind the scenes. Kingsbury's job security could be in question, whether he gets a head coaching job or not, which is fascinating. We'll talk about that next as well. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Tell him, Toby. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thank you for listening to the program. It is a Victory Monday on the Fan, presented by Chinigo Maios, a 2025 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. The Commanders get a win in Week 18 against a Philadelphia Eagles team that was playing backup, second and third stringers, a la the preseason. In fact, the only starter of note that I really saw at all was Devontae Smith, who in six plays of offense went 3 for 52 as a receiver to get him to 1,000 yards, and then they immediately pulled him out of the game.
He's so fast in general. But that was even faster than he is. Like, the instant he got his 1,000 yards, like, sit up quick! Like, and you never saw him again. He was gone.
It was funny, because they kept talking on the broadcast. They're like, must be out there to try to get 1,000 yards. I was like, in the game? Because he's on pace.
Seriously.
I mean, he was going for 15-yard out routes, just wide open. They missed him once, or else he would have had 70 yards on six plays.
He'd have been done on the first drive.
But 3 for 52, he goes to the sideline, and at that point, it becomes the Tank Bigsby, Jahan Dotson, Britton Covey show for the Philadelphia Eagles. And against those backups, the second and third stringers, for an Eagles team that I think fairly inexplicably, by the way, with a chance to be the 2 seed in the NFC.
They didn't seem interested in that at all.
They were definitely not interested. They didn't let anybody play. I am sure Nick Sirianni's getting beat up pretty good in Philly today, and understandably so. But they said, we're all set. We're looking forward to the playoffs. And they actively did what they could to keep as many important players off the field as possible. Washington, meanwhile, did the antithesis of that, and they got win number 5 out of 17. They go 5-12 on the season, and they were led by a 39-year-old journeyman quarterback in stop 14 in a win over Philadelphia to get to 5-12 and to fall 2 picks lower in the draft order. Daron Payne played very well at D-tackle. Terry McLaurin led the way with 57 receiving yards and another four PIs drawn. Would have had a 100-yard day if you add up all of the penalty yardage. Some of the best players for Washington, not just played, but played very well as they got one more win. And I heard Dan Quinn talking about this and some of the players talking about how meaningful it was with the hours that they put in, that they got to have one more post-game rah-rah fun evening together. And I'm happy for them, legitimately, because they work really hard and that's cool. But there's a very, very different thing between being able to be happy for all of the staffers and the employees and the players and the coaches that left it all on the field correctly and did everything they could, and still acknowledging that what happened yesterday was actually worse for this team's offseason and worse for this team's future. There's no benefit to them getting a win as a group that will not exist together ever again after they left that locker room last night.
Yeah, I think you said it very well. This isn't a college program where there's 90 kids or 100 kids on the roster and you can play the walk-on. You can have a Rudy Rutiger moment, you know what I mean, where some guy that all he's ever done is practice for you and he gets into a game and tries to hit a three or take a charge or something like that. This is just a different animal. There was a nice moment where London Fletcher presented Bobby Wagner with the commemorative game ball where you've got your 2,000 tackles, and that sort of stuff is neat and good for those guys. But I borrow from one of your expressions, that doesn't put Triscuit crackers in my stomach. Like, to me, you lose those privileges. When you go 4-12 and you bring me a disaster, I don't care about you anymore. Neither does the organization, by the way. They're going to move on from you. There'll be nice moments. There'll be you know, the bro hugs where you shake a guy's hand, pull him in close, do the kind of the half bear hug, and, you know, say really appreciate you and a lot of eye contact and, you know, really nice words, but they're gone. Most of these guys are gone. And if they had won the game with Kane Medrano playing 70% of the snaps, or Jordan McGee or Tyler Owens getting more than 0% of snaps on defense. Now, again, it's not as if they've got a bunch of young players waiting in the wings. They don't. It's a huge issue, I might add. But this was the same group that brought you 4-12 doing the same things. Ask them to get timeouts right once before the season ends. Ask them to. They can't.
They ran out of their second half timeouts with over 10 minutes left in the game.
Has anyone jumped off sides yet? Excuse me, a false started yet? They lead the league in that.
They called timeout out of a TV timeout, out of a stoppage and change of possession. I've never seen that in my life before. Not once. By the way, Ben Sinnott, who had 2 catches for 3 yards.
Welcome to the party, buddy.
So there we
go. Great job. That's 2 more.
2 false starts on the goal line.
Oh, I was going to play a game. What did they have more of, false starts or catches? And it was the same. It was a trick question, and it's depressing.
On the goal line.
On the goal line.
At the 1 yard line, on different possessions.
Yep.
He had false starts. Nightmare.
Yeah, one was for Kyle Juszczyk, one was for George Kittle, his comps. But look at the timeouts. Washington calls a timeout, and then, all right, let's draw something up. Incomplete pass. Let's draw something up. Fumble. Let's draw something up. Touchdown by Philadelphia. Embarrassing. I mean, this was the normal pathetic march of the incompetence that they've been doing for the last several months when they started 3-2, and everything since then has been a god-awful train wreck on stilts. They did the thing that they've been doing all year, but this one was good enough when you found your true north or whatever the hell I'm supposed to believe. If you're excited, God bless you.
Good enough, it's important to note.
Yeah.
Because the other team benched all of their really good players and actively did what they could to not win the game. That's why it was good enough. But the reaction to my reaction is confounding. And when I say my reaction, the reaction of anybody who saw what happened yesterday, and this is not me being mad at Dan Quinn or upset with players, but just the sheer acknowledgement that that win was costly and not helpful, which is correct, irrefutably so, by the way. It is just a fact that having the 5th pick is better than having the 7th pick. That is not a debate. That is not like saying Italian food is better than Chinese food. Pick 5, more valuable than pick 7. Fact. Sharpie. Done. End of sentence. They had the 5th pick, had they have just lost the game, and then they ended up with the 7th pick. Now, here's what people can't figure out. It's really twofold, okay? This is the part that I think people can't quite grasp. Number one, this is the really, really easy sentence. So this one will be really succinct.
Okay.
Yesterday hurt more than it helped. We can all acknowledge that. Not all of us, I guess, because people say, the win helps the culture, the brotherhood, whatever. Not a thing. The win hurt more than it helped in the grand scheme of the assets that you've got a very finite amount of them, picks, money, free agency, draft, your haul, when my kids get home on Thanksgiving and pour out their candy, the stuff they're pouring out of the bag on the floor, that loot, that haul, all those assets, yours are a little bit worse after the win yesterday for this offseason and this very finite time you get to improve your roster. That part, not debatable. So we'll move on from that point. That's number one. But number two, and this is where people can't quite grasp this, we should all agree with that point. And then if we want to have a disagreement over whether or not the team should make an attempt to make it easier to lose at the front office level with who they play and who they sit, that's debatable. But people will say, teams don't do that. They sure as hell do. Constantly. Max Crosby got in a fight with the Raiders over it. He was furious. They wouldn't let him play at the end of the year. Correctly, by the way, so that they could get the number one overall pick. The Giants sat their only good offensive weapon in their passing game, Theo Johnson. Now, they happened to get out-batted by, you know, the Cowboys, who lost yesterday to New York. But Theo Johnson was listed as out with a sickness. Took to social media before the game to go, just so you guys know, I'm not actually sick. Didn't play in the game, though. That's the number one target for the Giants, who, by the way, the last 2 years have constantly screwed up their draft position and paid for it. They would have Drake May or Jaden Daniels right now if they didn't win these useless Week 17 and Week 18 games that keep Joe Shane around, that kept Brian Daboll around longer, that hurt that organization. But the thing that people can't figure out, Danny, is this idea that when I say it hurt, not helped, to win that game, it's as if I'm saying that the players should go out there and purposely fumble, or that Terry McLaurin with a ball coming at him should slap it to the ground or drop it. It's not what anybody's saying. No one is ever talking about players throwing a game, players not trying to win, or coaches even not trying to win. You're coaching, you're calling a play that you think works, you're trying to win from 1-4. But the point is, your 39-year-old Josh Johnson shouldn't have been the quarterback. Sam Hartman should have been. Terry McLaurin, who went for 57 yards and had another 50-plus in penalty yards that he drew, should not have been out there the entire game. Jacoby Jones should have been out there. Some wide receiver like River Craycraft should have been out there. River Jetski. Somebody else should be out there.
Aqua Sox Craycraft.
Right. That's how you do it. How on earth could you possibly lose? You got to try. Here's how. Daron Payne, you're not playing the second half. Go watch Ricky Barber play defensive tackle from our practice squad. That's how you do it.
Yeah, this part confuses so many people, and they argue past the point. You will never hear me. Well, I'll do some shtick about it where I say, oh my God, the Wizards are in danger of not being at the top of the lottery. I'm worried about that. Ha ha ha, LOL. I am not upset when Trey Johnson is sniping threes from a step inside half court and Alex Sarr is rim running and blocking every shot and dunking on everyone. You will never catch anyone with a brain being upset when your kids win games. You'll catch me pretty pissed off when it's Trevor Reese and Jeff Green doing it for a 31-win team. Can you see the difference? Can you? I bet you can if you try, but you don't want to because you got a cliche in your mind. You got Herm Edwards in your brain about playing to win the games and so forth. A pro athlete doesn't have to worry about it. All you do is the best you can do every single time you get a chance. I'm in the game? Great. I'm going to go do the best I can. That's awesome, and you should. If Cade Medrano had 10 tackles yesterday, I'm going, dude, how fun was that? How great is that just to see this guy? If Tyler Owens is a wrecking ball, is a Miley Cyrus song, because he's, you know, playing close to the line of scrimmage, is an off-ball linebacker and a safety and everything in between, I'm going, dude, they might have something here. If Sam Hartman plays well and you win, you don't apologize for that. That's the process. That's what rebuilding looks like. Literally, that's it. This isn't same thing they did for 13 straight weeks to bring you 4-12. The 4-12 happened yesterday, but you guys didn't notice it because Philadelphia laid down. Fine.
I got a lot of tweets from people like this one. This is, nobody's cursing, so I can read this one. It's pretty easy. This guy responds to me saying that the win wasn't helpful in the grand scheme of things. And he said, loser talk. Mm. And that's how I would sum up most of the people that I'll say don't understand why it's better to have the fifth pick than the seventh pick. But I guess more accurately and more interestingly, just don't agree with the premise, which is fine. This guy said, loser talk. So it is loser talk to suggest that a grown-up somewhere along the way should be taking 26 and 27 as the prioritization over one day in January of 2026 and one empty calorie win. That's loser talk. I disagree. I think it's loser talk. I think it's cringe, as the kids say. I think it's completely cringeworthy when I see Commanders fans saying, we got back at them for the two-point conversion, high-fiving, as you just went 5-12 and threw up all over yourselves for 4 months.
They got that playoff game to get ready for. Oh.
That's embarrassing to me.
Yeah.
That's cringeworthy to me. Mm-hmm. It is cringeworthy to me to go, we got the last laugh on Nick Sirianni. No, you didn't, Goose. They're going to the playoffs. He benched all of his starters and didn't give a damn about the game. He played one guy for a handful of plays. He torched Washington a bunch.
Yeah, to get some numbies on your ass.
And then they pulled him out on the sideline.
Yeah.
So, no, you want to talk about loser talk? Like, so my kid is five. He was wearing his Jaden Daniels jersey last night. 4 o'clock starts, a little tough. Bedtime's right around 7. Game was super boring. Terrible week 18 football. I mean, I was like holding my eyes open.
You know.
So my kid falls asleep
like,
on the couch.
Like, this is work. This is work.
And, like, he keeps looking at the score. I don't know if he quite gets how everything works because he kept going, like, oh, we still have the lead. It's like, yeah, it's halftime.
You know? Yeah. No updates.
Right. So, anyway, so he's like, it's 17-13 or whatever the score was. So, anyway, he falls asleep. So, when he wakes up at the end of the game, I'm taking him upstairs. Did we win? I said, yeah, buddy, we won. He goes, yes. He goes, we beat the Eagles. I said, we sure did.
We got him.
He's like, aren't you happy, Dad? And I just said, to avoid a long conversation, yeah, bud, love to win. I'm not going to ruin his time on December 24th.
Sure, his child wonderment.
You know, I'm not going to sit down and have that conversation about what's ahead that night. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
I'm going to say, yep, buddy, we won. He's five. He doesn't get the context or the nuance of the draft and pick five and pick seven. So if you want to live that blissful life of that five-year-old where all wins are equal and did we win or did we lose? That'll determine my mood. God bless you. You have it. I'll carry you up to bed. I'll lay you down and tuck you in, and I'll say you won, buddy. You won.
You got him today, pal.
I'll rub your head.
You got him back for that two-point conversion.
And he'll go, so we can beat the Eagles in a fight? And I'll go, yes, we can.
Sure can, buddy.
We did it today.
We did it.
That's you, loser talk guy. You're the we can beat the Eagles in a fight guy, loser talk guy. I'm trying to get the best pick possible. Who's loser talk? I'll carry you up to bed. Just let me finish the show, and then I'll get you into your bed. Tonight.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It scraps from the table. But listen, there are. I think you started this off saying this really, really well. Individually, I am really happy for Bobby Wagner getting flowers again. Gold jacket, superstar. All he's ever done is the right thing.
The man.
All he does is play hard. What an influence! What a great dude! Hooray for Bobby Wagner. Now the macro is really you. You didn't roll out anything different. This has been my number one gripe overall with this Dan Quinn season and this staff. It's, now we're good. Keep sending them up. Well, keep getting after it the exact same way for months on end while you're turning in one of the worst years in recent memory.
They decided somewhere along the way getting Bobby Wagner to 2,000 tackles was more important.
Yeah, we ain't changing.
Than seeing what Kane Medrano is. And that, if that's the case, he's your heart and soul glue guy and that's fine.
Good. That's one example.
I don't even have a problem with that. But all of their decisions stacked up that way. Hilarious tweet here from Mark who says, there's a flaw in your argument that you're not acknowledging. They won the NFC East tournament. That's a great, great bit.
Did they? What did they go? 2-2 down the stretch?
Yeah.
In the NFC East tourney?
They won the tourney.
Did they win it, though?
Can we get a banner made?
Did they place?
I'm not even doing a bit. Who would make us a banner to put in the studio? 2026. It's like the NBA Cup. I want one. I'm going to make one. Toby, get on that. See how we can make a banner for the studio.
Okay, so they beat the Giants. That's 1-0.
Yes.
Lost to the Eagles, 1-1. Lost to the Cowboys, 1-2. 2-2 down the stretch. Is that better than everyone else in the NFC East tournament?
In the last month, no one had more than that. We won the NFC East tournament.
Dude, we might have won it.
Hashtag brotherhood.
We might have won it, bro.
Actually, I take back everything I said. This was a great year. I was thinking for a second I was upset about how it went. Now I'm happy. They won the NFC East tournament. The poll of the day for you guys, Metropolitan Moving in Storage. Local, long distance, residential, commercial, 3 decades, best in class service and experience. Which did you prefer yesterday? Getting to beat the Eagles so that Nick Sirianni was in a bad mood for a couple hours. And so that you could tell your buddies you could beat him in a fight on the playground. Or having a better draft pick, which is obviously more valuable. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop.
Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Three o'clock, Jay Gruden will join the show. Talk to the former head coach here in D.C. about yesterday's Commanders win, and we'll look into the offseason, some teams' needs. Jay Gruden's thoughts on what they need to prioritize to get better schematically. Also, 5 o'clock today, very, very important. Make sure you're listening. We have live the press conference, end of year Q&A, GM Adam Peters, head coach Dan Quinn. We'll have it right here on the Fan. That's coming up in a little over 2 hours. At 5 o'clock on this Victory Monday on the Fan, presented by Chiniga Mayos, a 2025 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. Just to give you an idea of kind of the split of the fan base on this, Danny, are you satisfied that the Commanders won in their regular season finale against the Eagles, or would you have preferred they lost to secure the fifth overall pick? 52% of fans are glad they won. 48% would rather have the fifth pick if they had to choose between the two. And I, some people, again, those 52% probably hear that and they go, oh my gosh, 48% of people were either rooting against the team on every play or saying that the players shouldn't have tried to win. Not what we're saying at all. But there are ways, like what is a complete reasonable take, they should have had Sam Hartman playing football. It gets harder to win when he's out there, but it also does your organization good to get him those reps, prioritizing kids who might make some mistakes. You have your cake and you eat it too. It's a more instructive, developmental exercise for the future while also doing the thing in the moment that helps you the most, which is to not get further down the draft board.
For me, I think everybody can find different parts of it that either make them happiest or angriest. I mean, for me, it's most irritated. It's, again, it wasn't even just that they won the game. Like, to be honest, the difference between 5 and 7, it is a difference. I'm acknowledging one is a larger number. And if you value the Jimmy Johnson trade chart, it's worth something in terms of the draft pick, et cetera. Maybe you're able to trade down. Maybe you miss out on the player that you like, et cetera. Who knows, right?
The quantifiable difference, if you want to use Jimmy Johnson's draft chart, for picks 5 to 7 is 200 points, which is the equivalent of the 14th pick in the third round, which ain't nothing, by the way. The 14th pick in the third round, in the top 75, basically. That's what we're talking about in terms of a quantifiable value for the damage done by winning yesterday. It would be like, are you willing to hand over a mid-third round pick, 14th overall in round 3, to win this game? That's kind of the question. My answer, when I need as many players as I do, is no. For 52% of people, they're saying, yes, give that third round pick up, no problem.
And so that part, honestly, to me, is less infuriating than the thing that I have been saying for months that just happened again. It's the same. They trotted out the same guys, playing the same snap counts, the same playing time, the same scheme, the same this, the same that, with a 40-year-old quarterback that's been on 15 teams. It's like a chuckle graphic where it's like, you know who's gotten some frequent flyer miles? It's Josh Johnson, who's been on every roster a couple of... Not funny to me. Change your process. But they're for whatever reason, they're going, I know the ship's burning. I know there's a bunch of holes. I know we already hit the iceberg, but let's go. Let's have the band keep playing. They love that. That's the part that I find infuriating. Less so that they won a game barely by playing terribly against a team that didn't care. It's the nothing is different. I can't believe the arrogance and the audacity. Not the Odyssey, mind you, okay? Or the Odyssey. Not even those things. The audacity to sit there and go, we're doing the same thing with a bunch of vets in the most meaningless game possible. You do what they did with for Devontae Smith, give Bobby Wagner a couple tackles, fine by me. He's earned it. Why are we running up the same Jonathan Jones for 100% of the snaps? Why are we running everybody out there like it's a Week 7 game and you're still fighting for something?
All right, let's be quick, but I want to squeeze a couple guys in. Usman in New York, you get a quick word on this.
Oh, man. Okay, I can write a dissertation on this, but Danny, I'm 100% with you. I mean, Grant, too, but I've gotten so much hate on social media as well, posting pretty much exactly what you guys have. I think there's a lot of fans who think there's a lot of magic to football and don't understand the mechanics and the strategy and the quantifiable, you know, tactics behind how you win and run a winning organization. Like, football magic just doesn't happen. We have to show some signs of growth. And I don't know. I just have such low confidence from a fluky 2024 that, okay, even if we're going 4-13, I want to see winning moves, winning strategy. Get the guys your incentives, bench them, and play your young guys. And show that there's some type of strategy and foundation here. I don't see it with the coaching staff. This did nothing to help my confidence. But there's a lot of guys
and
who are
this
saying,
too,
but we won, though.
Usman, it's a good call. Sorry, we're up against
Appreciate
it.
Appreciate you, dude.
Terry McLaurin torching Kelee Ringo did nobody any good yesterday. I mean, I guess it was cool to see Terry McLaurin finish strong. But the point is, could you have played Jacoby Jones? Could you have called up one of your kids from the practice squad? Could we have seen what Ja'Cory Brooks looked like in an NFL game running around, catching a pass or two? Like, that would have been the play, in my opinion. We'll talk to Jay Gruden next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, Financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.